What a delight to be here today, and thank you for joining us for worship here at Friendly. My privilege to be part of your service today. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I do a psalm a month here at Friendly, and I've been serving the church for 121 months. So here we are. Imagine that. It is an 8-verse psalm, fairly an economy of words. So I'll read the whole thing for you this morning. And if you're able to stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, please join me in standing out of honor for a message from heaven for our journey here below. Psalm 121 begins like this. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Join me in prayer. Father, going in, coming out, going in, coming out, a lot of going in, coming out. And this is almost like the traveler's psalm. I know that families have used this as someone's going off, one of their sons or daughters are going off to war, to say the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This psalm is used in lots of families, lots of reasons. We thank you for it this morning. Pray that it'll be a blessing to our souls. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Our Master, Redeemer, Savior, take possession of every part of our lives this morning. Thank you for Riker, wonderful baptismal testimony and experience for him and for all of us. Lord, we are yours by right through the purchase that Jesus made on the cross. He bought us. He keeps us. Sanctify every part of us. Fill our hearts with hope. Thank you for the song, Someone Who Cares. You'll come down and help us. If there are any here today that are hopeless, Lord, may today be a time when hope is restored, hope is renewed. May we flee temptations that relentlessly hound us. Mortify the sins that continually plague us. Help us, Lord. Help us to live for Christ, like Christ, with Christ. May there be no hypocrisy in us. Hold us. Lord, help us trust you in the hour of distress. The psalm says you're going to protect us from evil. Hallelujah. Just like the Lord's Prayer. And deliver us from evil. Bless now as we spend a moment in Psalm 121. Make it a blessing for every soul today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm into a section of the Psalms called Psalms of Ascent. I think the King James would say a song of degrees. You're going up to Jerusalem. You're going up, going up, going up, going up. And it lasts from like 120, where we were last time, to one like 134 right in there. 134, 135, every one of them has the same title, Song of Ascent, Song of Ascent. They would quote these songs, read these songs, sing these psalms at least three times a year. the day of Pentecost, the day of Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacles. This little section, book within a book, these little section of Psalms, very important to them. The last time we were a long way from Jerusalem. We were way over in Meshech. We were way over in Kedar. We're traveling through the foothills, traveling over the mountains, traveling through the shadows, traveling, trying to get to Jerusalem, traveling a long way. We're getting closer. We can almost see it in 121. We started in 120. We're 121. 122, you're there. He says in 122, my feet are within the gates. And so you make the journey safely. But in 121, you're still not quite there. You're still traveling, if you will. Now, I have to admit, when I was young, I would read this psalm and I would think of the Ozarks. It's just how naive, I guess, I am about this whole thing. But King James reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. And as I began to study this psalm, I'm like, no, the hills are not your friend. In fact, the King James didn't quite catch it right. I lift up my eyes to the hills. I need help, is literally what he's saying. And where am I going to get my help? Why are the hills so frightening and why are the hills so fearful? There's robbers out there and there's bad guys. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan, some guy traveling along the road and he gets ambushed, bushwhacked all of a sudden and knocked out, robbed, left nearly dead as these travelers come from hundreds, thousands of miles on foot, going through the valleys and going up the mountains, and they can see Jerusalem off in the distance. They're not quite there. They're saying, man, dude, this is the way it should read. Boy, do I need help as I make this journey through these twists and turns of these mountain passages that were often not official roads. They were often just like a little footpath with greenery on this side, greenery on that side. You never know when a hand's going to reach out and snag you all of a sudden. And they're going to Jerusalem, can see it in the distance. And I think in that verse, and I'll develop it more in just a moment, but in that verse, there's a picture of all of our journeys. We can see something off in the distance, heaven. We can see the celestial city off in the distance. We can see the portals. The lights are beginning to come on. We can see the lights beginning to show themselves, but we're not there yet. We're walking through this world, bit of a dangerous spot. Life, let me just say it this way. Life is complicated, and we need help for the journey, if you may. Those were days in 121 of footpaths and dark valleys and rivers and mountain passes and a trip that's long and hard. Guess what our journey is like? Same thing, second verse. Twists, turns, dark paths, narrow valleys, shadows, fear comes up in our heart. We're trying to get through this world. We know this world is not our home. And we're just passing through this world. We've got to get home. And so here we go on 121. You have a life journey. Don't know what it's like. None of my business. I suspect that Psalm 121 may be of collateral value to you as we consider these words together. With our challenges and our complications, may Psalm 121 speak to us today. Notice, there's a search. Help me, help me, help me, help me. There's a search. Secondly, that's verse 1. Secondly, verse 2, there's a source. Oh, here's the help. Here's the deal. This is where I go. This is where I go for help. And then in verses 3 through 8, I'm going to take you of a jet tour of the security of that help. So first the search, then the source, then the security. And she sang it just a moment ago. Someone who cares. That's 3 through 8. You'll see that God is watching over you today. First, the search, verse number 1. It reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And it should read as a question, where am I going to get some help? Where will my help come from? I'm on this journey. And it's getting a little complicated, and there's fearsome mountains. The question goes through this traveler's head. I need help. Where can I find it? The Christian life, if you haven't noticed yet, can get a little rough, a little rocky at times, close contact with this world in which we live. We don't withdraw from it, but it can be challenging. Just ask the Apostle Paul. Say, Paul, was life, you know, how was life when you were a Pharisee to when you became a follower of Christ? He would say it was much easier to be a Pharisee. When I became a follower of Christ, I got snake bit. I got whipped 5 times with 39 lashes. I got shipwrecked. I got stoned and left for dead. There were wild animals involved. This journey can become kind of tough. I know there's a lot of pastors that say if you follow Christ, I mean, all you need to do is follow Christ, right? And the sky's going to always be blue. The grass is always going to be green. You're going to have the biggest watch, the biggest house, the prettiest wife, the fastest car. Everything's going to be great. This psalm says, I need help. Now, there's a search for help. There may be a search for help going on here this morning. You say, preacher, I know where to go when I'm in trouble. I go to my IRA, and I got money that can dig me out of any problem. That's shrunk over the last few years, hasn't it? Someone may say, hey, I'm an American. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I don't need any help. I'm very fine by myself. Thank you very much. The psalmist does neither of those things. The psalmist says, my help, and I'll get to that in a moment, is going to come from the Lord. That's the one who's going to help me. But we live in a rough, tough, tumble situation. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. The Christian life is not always a quiet, calm, and perfect existence. Christians are going to God. Meanwhile, we travel the same ground that everyone else walks on. We breathe the same air that everyone else breathes. We drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers, watch the same news. We're citizens under the same government. We pay the same price for groceries as everyone else, same price for gasoline, fear the same dangers, subject to the same pressures, the same distresses. We're buried in the same ground. We need help. That's what Psalm number 1 says. It's a search for help. And if you've come this morning saying, I need help, mayday, mayday, we just went through 9/11 moment going on here. If you need help, read Psalm number 121 and you're going to find out where to go when you need help. Well, let's go there now. The search, here's the source. Verse number 2. My help comes not from the mountains. The mountains have always been a source of comfort to me, and I love the mountains, but our help comes not from anything in creation. Our help comes from the one who created the mountains and the one who formed the sea and the one who shaped the earth. That's the way verse number 2 reads. It reads like this. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He's the one who created everything, and he's got the whole world in his hands. And if I need help, I'm going to him, and I'm going to ask him for help today. Today, you may need to break free from something. Say, I have fought something. I have fought the devil for 6 months, a year. How about 20 years? How about 30 years? I've lived in verse 1. I can't get out of verse 1. Mayday, mayday, I need help. Get into verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. Look up, brother, from this world in which we live. Every time I conducted a wedding last Sunday evening, getting the couple, get everyone there. Here we are gathered, assembled in the presence of God to join the hand of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. I'm having them look up. I just baptized a little boy. Last Sunday, I had someone come alongside him and lead him to faith in Christ. Look up. Today in baptism, down. Look up. On your journey through this world, whether it's marriage or whether it's a service like this or whether it's a baptism, if I conduct a funeral and there's a body and we all mourn, what is your job, preacher? Get our eyes to look up to the Lord in moments like that. Look up, brother. That's what verse 2 says. Look up, sister. Look up today. Fighting it for 6 months, fighting it for a day, fighting it for a year, fighting it for a lifetime. How about looking up? Real help comes from a real God. And whether the help we need is physical or emotional or spiritual, God can help us. The psalmist is not looking to the mountains for help, but he's looking to the maker of the mountains for his help. We are told it's the first thing that described the Lord in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He comes out in work clothes. He comes out in bib overalls. He comes out in a work shirt. He comes out ready to go for 6 days, and he works day one. Good. Hangs the sun, moon, stars, gets the fish to swimming, sets the birds to flying, raises up mountains, sets down the plains, cast in the oceans for 6 days. This maker of heaven and earth, that maker of heaven and earth is our God. And we can, if he can make heaven and earth, is there anything too big for him? You say, it must have exhausted him. He rested the seventh day. It is no harder for God to make mountains, form seas, form the vast universe that is out before us, seen with the naked eye, seen with the telescope. You can see it all so crystal clear. No harder for him to make the heavens and the earth than it is to create a butterfly. He is an endless source of energy. They unleashed, you know, nuclear power. We're so concerned about Iran getting a nuclear weapon, so concerned Russia's rattling its saber, China's rattling their sabers, America rattling their sabers. Who put the power in the atom? God did. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he put the power in the atom, if you will. God created everything. Philippians 4:13 says, therefore, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can help me in prosperous times. He can help me in times of poverty. He can help me in trials. He can help me in family issues. He can help me through the prodigal son. He can help me when sunny days, he can help me on dark days. The Lord is our help. My help comes from God. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. God will help you. Jesus would say, consider the lilies. They toil not nor spin, yet kings in all their glory don't compare. Trust the Lord if you will. Peter would write, cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Leave your burdens there, and God will help you today with whatever issue you're facing. Go to the Lord in your search. Don't stop in verse 1. Move on to verse 2. My help comes from God. Finally, I want you to see the security of our help in verses 3 through 8. The search ends in verse 2 with the source. You say, well, all this sounds good, preacher. I mean, have you ever had someone say, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. And you say, verse number one, the guy is searching. Verse number two, he found the source. Seems too good to be true. Verses 3-8 says, now on so many things in life, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. But when it comes to the Lord, you can take it to the bank. There is security in the Lord. There's a guarantee. There is a surety there that He will help you throughout the thick and thins of this world. Just as Linda sang a moment ago, someone who cares. Let me read to you 3-8. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He won't let you fall down and crack your nose on the ground. Give yourself a black eye. He will be there to catch you. I've walked with my children, and they'll be on an unsteady surface. Or I've walked with my wife with an arm, and she'll say, this surface is a little bit unsteady. I'll say, let me take my arm. Come on, let's go across this together, whether it's on snow or a floor that was recently mopped. I said, let's just go across this together. I want to help you through this. Glad to do it as a daddy. Glad to do it as a husband. Glad to do it. But you know there's one better than a daddy, one better than a husband, one better. You say, who is that? That's the Lord our God in heaven. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will hold your hand. He's got you covered all through your journey. He that keeps you will not slumber. He will not sleep. He is always on duty. I have folks that say, you know, I couldn't sleep last night. Man, I just couldn't sleep last night. I tell everybody, my wife is kind of a little bit of a worrier. And someone said, why doesn't you worry? I said, she worries enough for both of us. I think she worries enough. Why would I worry? She's got it covered. Here's my plan right here. I figure if I've got troubles, I give it to the Lord, because He's going to be awake all night anyway, right? He's going to be up all night. Why don't I just give this over to Him? I think He can take care of this much better than I can. And so try to lay down and let the Lord give you your rest at night. Worry is kind of like sitting in a rocking chair. Gives you something to do. Won't get you anywhere. Just move on and give it to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And He will hear those prayers. He will catch you if you fall. In 3, He's not going to close His eyes. Some people say, I pray, I pray, I pray. It seems like His eyes are closed. Seems like His ears are plugged. Seems like His mouth is duct taped. He's not saying anything. I don't think He sees anything. I don't think He hears anything. This text would say, God does see. God does hear. God does know. God does speak. God does care. And so He says He watches over you. When does He watch over you? Night and day. Verse 4, He that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, night or day. One of the things, Elijah, and I always think of Elijah when I read these words. He's up on Mount Carmel. We went to Mount Carmel when we were in Israel. Thank you very much out of your kindness to my wife and I. We went up there, and I could just imagine Elijah and, you know, those prophets of Baal, 450 prophets, and they set this big sacrifice on the altar, and it's a big showdown of the gods. And the prophets of Baal march around the altar, and Elijah's standing over there. He's kind of watching them, you know, and seeing what they're doing. And they're shouting, and they're clapping, and they're doing their thing, and they're even cutting themselves. Their blood is flowing. It's a royal mess. They're raising the rafters, and nothing is happening. And Elijah begins to mock Baal, the god of these prophets. Is he asleep? I think he's asleep. Literally, if you read it, has he gone to the bathroom? I think he's gone to the bathroom. He begins to trash talk Elijah. Elijah begins to trash talk this Baal, god of these prophets. And then, of course, when they finally figure out he's not going to say anything, he's not going to do anything, he's a no-show today, Elijah puts his sacrifice on the altar, digs a ditch around it, says, pour water on it, pour more water on it, pour more water on it, fill the thing up, drench it, make it soaking wet, fill the ditch all around it. And then, boom, he prays, and lightning falls and soaks up the water and consumes the sacrifice before the eyes of the prophets of Baal. And that's what the writer of Psalm 121 is saying. He never sleeps. He's not like Baal. He never slumbers. He never closes his eyes. He's always got his eyes on you. You say, boy, when I pray, his eyes are closed, ears are plugged, mouth is sealed. That's devil talk. Our God is watching over you. And seen or unseen, bidden or unbidden, felt or not felt, he is watching over you today. In verse number 5, the Lord is your keeper. He says it in verse 4, great word. Verse 3, he keeps you. Verse 4, he keeps Israel. Verse 5, he keeps, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade upon your right hand. I mean, are we ready for fall weather? Everybody say amen for that. Woo! It was a roaster this summer. And the writer says, when you're out there in this world and you need shade, and boy, does it make a difference. He is your shade. He will, things are noticeably different. If you're out on a 95 degree day with a heat index of 1,050 degrees, you get in the shade. And, oh, he says, he is your shade. The sun, the moon, other nations may worship the sun and the moon. Egypt worshiped the sun. Egypt worshiped the moon. We call Monday because it's moon day. Sunday because it's Sunday. Sun is involved. The moon is involved. It's always been involved. He says, don't worry about the sun or the moon. Don't worry about the gods of Egypt, the gods of Canaan, these gods that are out there. God has you in the palm of his hand. He is like shade in the hottest heat. Don't worry in 6 about the sun or the moon. Verse 7, he will protect thee. He will preserve thee. He will shield thee from all evil. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Psalm 121 echoes that in verse number 7. He will preserve thee from all evil. There's no devil. There's no demon. There's nothing in this world that can come between you and your God. You are held safely in his hands. He has this thing. And 121 says, everything's going to be okay. He has your life in his hands. In verse 8, whether you're coming, whether you're going, doesn't make a difference which one it is, even through eternity. I don't know about you. 121, I read 121, it's like I can take a deep breath. Everything's going to be okay. The Lord is going to watch over us. Someone has said, don't tell God how big your problems are. How about if you flip it? How about if you tell your problems how big your God is? And just watch what happens at that point. God watches over you so that you can rest in him every day. You say, I don't know what 2025 holds, 2025. It's kind of scary, getting scary. Getting scary out there, preacher. It's getting scary. Just rest. He's already been there. He's got this thing. Let's rest. Let's vote, but let's rest. Let's rest. Let's pray, but let's rest in this thing. However the ball bounces, God is watching over us. So, 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the mountains. Where in the world's my help going to come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Can I encourage you today to lift up your eyes, to look, to live, to breathe, to relax, to pray, to have joy, to give thanks in the Lord to stop worrying. Just give it to the Lord. Let him take care of it. There is a surety. There is a certainty. There is, if you will, a security in verses 3 through 8. It was there for the guy journeying to Jerusalem. And as we make our journey to the celestial city, it's there for us. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that is a non-negotiable. You've got to put your faith in Christ, because He will go with you every step of the way. He is our brother. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is our guide. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is the High King of heaven. Put your faith in Christ today. If you've never confessed your sins, Riker did it last week, 7 days away. Why don't you do it today? And put your faith in Christ Jesus. There's still water in the baptistry. We can hold it. We'll take care of you and move you. We'll move you from salvation right into the water for baptism and get this thing done and start getting the bride all ready for the groom who's coming. I sometimes feel like I'm in the fourth quarter. There's only seconds left in the game. He's coming. We've got to get ready for the return of Christ. You don't have time to waste. Come today. If you need prayer, this whole thing says, I've got problems, I've got problems, I've got problems. Pray. You can come for salvation in moments. You can come for prayer. I'll pray for you. Others will pray for you and with you as we wrap up our service today. And then there may be others yet who say, I'm already a follower of Christ. I've already been baptized. I'm already. You just need a church home. I said from the baptistry, there's hundreds of thousands who are walking outside of Christ. They think going to church is the worst thing you can do for your soul. I think the case can be made that there is soul care going on in this church, that we are trying to help you get ready for home. Get ready for what lies ahead. Get ready getting through the twists and turns. If you need a church home, come today. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. I say, in this world in which we live, if a preacher can say it, a preacher needs to say it. Let's lift up our eyes. Let's pray together. Father, the song will say there's someone who cares. I think Psalm 121 really does echo that sentiment. There may be some today, Lord, who need a Savior. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. He has purchased, paid for their sins. May they come and receive the gift of salvation today. There may be others who say, I've got problems, 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 Mayday, 911. Father, there may be those who need prayer today. Not only may there be those who come to trust Christ, may there be those who come for prayer. Just say, Pastor, could I share with you and ask you to pray for me today? And I would be honored to do that. There may be others who live in the area and just need a church home. Lord, they need soul care. They need to be in a place where we admonish one another, love one another, pray for one another, serve one another, bear you one another's burdens, forgive one another. Just care for one another as you, Father, care for us. They need a church home. Bless now as we sing our closing hymn in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to 5.